Good evening. Welcome to the Dr. Zeus Film Podcast. First and foremost, my thoughts go out to those who were injured in the Brooklyn subway attacks. I have friends in New York, loved ones in New York. Sending my love to all of you. And then today, we lost a giant. A giant who offended, did things his way. I loved it when he went really far, though. In terms of going as far as he did, Gilbert Gottfried. I mean, what a genius. And if you were offended by him, then I don't know what else to tell you. I thought he was funny. And even if he said something offensive, like in those comedy roasts, people still saw it as funny, as humor. And there's a picture of him that he posted when Bob Saget died, of him and Bob Saget and Louis Anderson. They're all gone now. They're all gone. These comedy icons. I remember Gilbert Gottfried. He was in Problem Child 2. I think, yeah, he was in Problem Child 1. But in Problem Child 2, he's like, "Oh my God, I can't believe it's you!" And so he skips him a grade from third grade to the sixth grade because he wants to get rid of him. Only as Gilbert could do it. And then the Aflac guy, or the Aflac duck, remember the voice? And so his presence is going to be forever felt in comedy. When a comedian dies, it's just disturbing. It's sad. I mean, it makes me think of It's a Wonderful Life. Remember the little girls like,
"Daddy, teacher says every time the bell rings, an angel gets its wings."
That's right. That's right. Yeah. But for comedy, every time a comedian dies, the world is really less funny. And you think of all of those icons that we've lost, and in this decade, it's crazy. So let's protect Chris Rock, because Chris Rock for me is a legend, beloved. I don't know if he's beloved in Will Smith's house, but who fucking cares? You know, before we begin, I have a theory about that. I think that in those 10 years of the banning, I think him and Jada will go their separate ways. That's just my own opinion. It may or may not happen. But, yeah. Anyway, because, yeah. It takes two to tango. It takes two to tango. But you can tell, like, there's those videos that surfaced of him and she's trying to film him. He is annoyed. He wants no part of that. So, and then just the red table talk. I kind of feel bad for the people who go on Red Table Talk, because it's just an ambush. It's a toxic ambush. I've watched some of them and I'm like, ooh, this is awkward, and not in a good way awkward. Okay. When was the last time Jada Pinkett Smith was in a movie? Girls Trip? But that was like 100 years ago. Yeah. Anyway, I tried to watch some of Death on the Nile, and then the Wi-Fi went crap on me. But I can tell you that there is a nugget in this Death of on the Nile, and it gives you kind of a synopsis of why Hercule Poirot has the mustache. That's all I will say. I'm not going to spoil it. Kenneth Branagh does such a great job. I am such a Kenneth Branagh fan. I mean, you think about it. In the 90s, he was doing his own thing. You know, he was doing Frankenstein. He did Love's Labor's Lost. What was that one? The funny one. Oh, he did Hamlet, of course. But he did it a different way. That was the thing about Kenneth Branagh. And then, if you've seen Belfast, there is an Easter egg in Belfast that I picked up on. Okay. So, if some of you don't know this, Kenneth Branagh directed the first Thor film. Yes. Kenneth Branagh directed something in the Marvel Universe, along with Cinderella, and talk about a wide variety of films that he has directed. And so in Belfast, there's a moment where the little boy is reading a Thor comic book. And that's an Easter egg right there, because that's based on his life. And here he is, a little kid reading Thor, and he went on to direct Thor. So I thought that's really cool. That is a culmination of, you know, reliving your past and thinking, whoa, I did do everything that I set out to do, and these are my memories of growing up in Belfast. And oh God, it was such a beautiful film, so beautifully photographed, and the parents were really good looking, and you know, that's always help. I've never seen, what are those movies? The movies where they whip each other, the Gray movie. Jamie Dolan, he plays the father in Belfast. I didn't know he was in those whipping movies. He's pretty good looking, but you know, come on. I mean, how can you not? And then the mom too. And then I'm watching the mom and I'm like, wait a minute. You know how you are like, I've seen them from a movie. That's always my thing. I'll watch a movie and think, wait a minute, where have I seen them before? She played the mother and the wife in Ford versus Ferrari to Ken Miles. I believe she played Ken Miles' widow. So, I'm watching Belfast, and of course you've got Dame Judi Dench, and then you've got Kieran, I can't remember his name, but he was in There Will Be Blood. So all these actors that I've seen before, it's like, oh, okay, all right. See, when I'm watching films, even Death on the Nile has an interesting cast, because you've got Gal Gadot, Annette Bening, Jennifer Saunders, Armie Hammer, who else? Trying to remember. Of course, Kenneth Branagh. There's a few others. Was it my friend's husband likes him? Russell Brand. Oh Lord. He's in Death on the Nile. Okay. Yeah. So I haven't finished it yet because, like I said, the Wi-Fi took a crap on me. Oh. So. But those things happen. Technical difficulties. I'm going to attempt to watch it later on. But I'm recording right now. I'm on my way to work. And so it's the night time, or it's the right time, as Ray Charles so famously said. And yes, that was featured in The Cosby Show. Let's move on. Sometimes I just love recording and talking to you all. I don't always want to pick a film because then it's like, oh God, it's so boring. And I don't want to phone it in. I will say that I'm looking forward to reading Molly Shannon's biography. Molly Shannon is hilarious. If you grew up in the 90s like I did and you watched Saturday Night Live, remember she was Sally O'Malley? Remember that shit? My name is Sally O'Malley and I like to kick, stretch. I'm 50 years old. I'm going to play that for a friend when he turns 50. And then, of course, Mary Catherine Gallagher. Sometimes when I'm nervous, I stick my fingers under my arms and I smell them like this. Mary Catherine Gallagher, it's not nice. All I want to say is season's greetings. Yeah. My favorite was her last show. And she did The School's Out for Donna. And then she broke the guitar. She's like, last show. I love that. I thought she is an icon. That's the thing with Saturday Night Live. She talks about, and many others do, about how a sketch, if it's at the bottom, it won't air. And can I just say, Saturday Night Live, a lot of your sketches that you've picked stink. They stink. Sometimes I have to change the channel. It's like, why? Here's the thing. Usually it's a 50-50 situation if you're going to watch Saturday Night Live. But these days it's been like 10-50 because I'll watch them. Like they did that one stupid The Sons of Modesto, and I thought, okay, there's no sand in Modesto. I live not too far from Modesto. Someone texted me one time and said that, hey, don't you live like close there? Yeah, there's no sand in Modesto. So I don't know where the fuck they got that from. Maybe it was a writer who's from Modesto. And Weekend Update is funny. You got Michael Che and you got Colin Jost. And yeah, they really lampoon the news. That's what Weekend Update really is about, is lampooning the news. And they've talked about that infamous slap. But who hasn't? Who hasn't? I've talked about it. It's like, oh God. Enough already. But what, you know, was Gilbert Gottfried on Saturday Night Live? He may have been. I don't remember. I would have to have it in front of me, which I don't. But there are so many Gilbert Gottfried moments. I mean, he's such a part of our culture as a comedian. He was in the Aflac commercials. I think he was later fired. I don't remember why. But then you think of all the movies that he did and all the television that he did, and he had that voice. But I loved him on those Comedy Central roasts. Those roasts could get brutal. But then, see, that's part of a roast. You're not there. If no one is really going to give it, then why did you show up? It's like, go big or go home. I almost said go bone. See where my mind is at? Go big or go bone. I maybe we could say that rather. Yeah, go big or go bone. If you're going to go, you gotta really bring it. That's your job. That's what a roast is. You're not supposed to be nice. And Gilbert Gottfried was not nice. But that's why we love him. Because, you know, he's this family man. He's a father and a husband. And he's able to say those things, you know, which is great. That's the thing with comedians. People think that they should be squeaky clean. And I was talking about this recently. You know, Carlin was the hippy-dippy weatherman. And he wore a suit. And then he started to feel he needed to change. He didn't feel like his real self. And it was the college students and the hippies that inspired him. Because he used to tour colleges. And then in the 90s, he stopped. Because, you know, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. And yeah, that's, I think maybe if I looked it up, Gottfried probably got fired, Gilbert Gottfried, from doing the Aflac commercial, probably because he said something, like a joke. And these are, we live in such crazy cancel times. Here's the thing, I like humor that offends. Think of Carlin. Carlin said the 7 words you can't say on TV, okay? Shit, piss, cock, sucker, motherfucker, tits, and twat. All right? If you were to say that now, or if you, even Joan Rivers, they would be canceled 20 times over. So, you know, so yeah, that's part of comedy, and it's part of the lexicon. You know what I mean? But Carlin would offend people, and you had to take it. I talked about this the other night. You know, when you do comedy, that comes with the territory. Comes with the territory, and you know. Parodies, like with Barbara Walters being parodied by Gilda Radner, and how Gilda, because she knew the people that used to work with Barbara Walters, that's why. And Barbara Walters didn't like being Bawa Wawa, but she later, you know, it was her daughter. Oh God, I keep saying that word, you know, like I'm Alanis Morissette now. It's not style. Yo, really no. Ooh. Yeah. Don't get me for that Alanis. I love Alanis. Is it Alanis or Alanis? I don't know. But you know, see, I said it again. These are the fun moments when I record without a filter. Someone asked me recently. They were like, "Would you ever do like stand up?" And I said, "Nah, I'm not that funny." If I were to do it, because I thought about doing it in 2020, and then the pandemic hit, because I was gonna go with someone and we were gonna go, and I was just gonna, and if I bombed, I bombed. I was gonna go up there and just talk about everybody and say things such as, I mean, I don't think Will and Jada had overshared yet, and or no, the entanglement was about to come out. But everyone knew. I've had friends tell me things that Will isn't exactly straight, that Jada isn't exactly straight. Why am I talking about this on the show? Because we're just having fun tonight. We're just having fun. I'm not a gossip. But I try not to be a gossip. It does kind of pee me off when, like, something such as that shooting on the subway happens. And that's not TMZ's lead story. TMZ's lead story is about that reality, you know what, and her family. That's really pathetic. That's the kind of world we live in. And it reminds me of Don't Look Up, where this comet is coming. It's going to kill everybody. Well, yeah, everybody. And they're more focused on this singer breaking up with this other singer. And it's, what? So that's kind of the world that we live in. So a lot of Don't Look Up is an allegory. It's a total allegory for the world that we live in, where we consume all of this media. And yes, I'm guilty of it. I think most of us are, going on TMZ. And it's like, who did what to who? But when it comes to that reality family, and I don't mention them by name because I don't like them. I just don't. I don't get it. They say that they're done with their show, and then they have another one. So that's a load of crap right there to say, oh, we're done with the show. Yeah, right. That's similar to the singers that say this is a farewell tour. And then it's not really a farewell tour. Because, you know, money talks and bullshit walks. Although Michael Jackson, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but it's true. Remember, that was his final tour. Well, it was going to be. That was the final tour. He promised. Unfortunately, he died. But, and so, you know, that was his final appearance, I guess. I think Cher. Cher was supposed to do a final tour, and then she said, I'm ready to do another one. In fact, I was going to go see her in 2020, but then everything closed, and I think my friend got a refund for it. And she's like, I don't know when she's going to reschedule it. I don't think she's going to ever. So. Yeah. We live in a crazy world. And so my heart goes out to those who experienced that subway shooting and Gilbert Godfrey. And I don't like doing shows where I have to eulogize someone. That's just, last night I talked about Omar Sharif, but that was really because it was his birthday. And remember that one time I did the show about Dr. Zhivago and I started to cry, and because my grandmother was, I think she had the hots for Omar Sharif. Come on, who didn't? Come on. I can understand that. He's a good-looking man. He was a good-looking man. But it was much more than that. That it wasn't just because he was a good-looking man. He was very charismatic. And that came through in his roles. Lawrence of Arabia, Dr. Zhivago, Funny Girl. Those are just three of them. The man... did so many film roles. Such an icon. So beloved. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say anything bad about him. Oh, he did slap an interviewer once, but he didn't slap them Will Smith style, so. But I think also they were getting in his grill, you know what I mean? When you get into someone's business like that, when you get in someone's grill, you're fucking up. you know. Will Smith slapped a guy before he slapped Chris Rock, but that was because I think the guy tried to kiss him, probably because he was trying to expose Will Smith. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? I can't believe I just did a show about that. And it's funny. It's silly. Yeah. And it's the Dr. Seuss Film Podcast. And may you all have a good night. Unpleasant dreams. And I'm going to go to work now. So, good night.